This is 1320 WILS. I'm Michael Cohen. Great to have you here. Well, what are teenagers doing? We know they have their heads buried in their phones, but what are they actually doing on their phones? My next guest found out. Amanda Lenhart is a senior research scientist at the Associated Press NORC Center for Public Affairs Research at the University of Chicago. Amanda, great to have you on WILS.
Oh, great. Thanks for having me.
Now, you actually, you surveyed hundreds of American teens to find out what they're doing with social media. How prevalent is it, first of all?
Well, it's remarkably prevalent, and anyone who has a teenager in their life will not be surprised, but it's more than 90% of teens say they use at least one of the social media platforms that we asked about. So that's things like Snapchat, Instagram, even Facebook, Twitter, and more.
Okay, well, what are the most popular social media platforms then?
Well, the two most popular are Snapchat and Instagram, and they're basically tied. It's about 3/4 of all American teens use those two platforms, and about 1/4 of them say they use it almost constantly. So most of our teens are using this at least several times, using these platforms at least several times a day.
I'm not on either, not familiar with either. What are they doing on Snapchat and Instagram?
Well, Instagram is a very photo and video-oriented site where you would share pictures of yourself that you've curated and to share the things that are important to you. You can also follow people that you're interested in and look at videos there. Snapchat is even more wide-ranging. So the part that a lot of people know about is the part where you can send images that then disappear within, 5 to 15 seconds, depending on how the person sets it. But it's really expanded over the last couple of years, and now you can create stories about your day, your life, by including small snippets of videos or images. And you can also actually read news on Snapchat. There's a number of platforms like CNN and the Wall Street Journal and also other kinds of more, frankly, fun news organizations that post content there. So it's really a pretty broad app.
So do the things still disappear on Snapchat, or is that done with?
No, the images that you share still do disappear, but the other parts of it have slightly different setups. Some of the stories that you tell, they last for about 24 hours, and the news tends to change a lot, but that doesn't have the same disappearing element.
These are now more popular than even Facebook among teens. Why is that, do you think?
Well, Facebook is the legacy platform. It's it's becoming a little bit of the dad in the room. And we should say that people still use it. It's 2/3 of adolescents still use Facebook. That's pretty much the same as it was a couple of years ago, but they're not using it as much. So Facebook is this place where kind of everybody goes, and I think Snapchat and Instagram are kind of the new kids in town and have slightly different things that you can do on them, which for right now seem to be more fun and engaging for teens.
So is Facebook more for engaging with adults for teens and Snapchat for their peers, or?
Facebook is really, I think, more for engaging with everybody, right? It's the site that everybody's on. Your parents are on it. Your great aunt is on it. The lady you know from church is on it. And so it's really a kind of a really broad network that can sometimes be really challenging to manage because, you're not exactly the same person to your best friend that you are to the lady you see in church. These other sites, I think the management issues around how you present yourself on those sites are a little bit different. How you've created your networks on those sites. For Instagram, teens don't necessarily have the same network. There's also a setup where teens have a real Instagram and then a fake Instagram, and they're sometimes known as Finstas, and they're where you sort of show your friends your real you as opposed to the more curated sense of yourself. So they're pretty complicated spaces, but I think personally quite fascinating.
Do you think parents have any idea what their children are doing on Instagram and Snapchat?
I think probably parents have some idea. Many parents do, but I don't think parents have the full sense. Certainly Snapchat makes it very difficult for parents to know exactly what kids are sending back and forth because the images disappear. Now, that doesn't mean that people can't capture them in ways that work around the app, which people do all the time, and most teens understand that when they send these images. But it means that a parent can't actually, if you get between your child and the image, then whoever was supposed to receive it doesn't get it, or your kid doesn't see it. So there's kind of no way for parents to necessarily be on top of exactly what's being sent back and forth on Snapchat.
That sounds potentially dangerous. I guess does that mean that teens are doing things on Snapchat that they don't want their parents to know about?
Sure. I mean, yes. I mean, let's step back and put it in context. I mean, teens are doing things at all sorts of places in their lives that they don't want their parents to know about either, whether that's, you know, out back behind the school or, you know, on the walk home or on Snapchat. But certainly I think, you know, yes, Snapchat gets used to share photos of, you know, inappropriate illegal activity or things you don't want your parents to see. But it also gets used to share things like, I don't really feel like brushing my hair today, but I still want to send a funny picture to my friend. So I'm going to send it on Snapchat because, you know, I want to keep our streak going and because I know that it's not going to end up in my kind of permanent record of Facebook or Instagram.
Amanda Lenhart is with us here on WILS. She's a senior research scientist at the AP-NORC Center for Public Affairs Research. When you say they're using it constantly, what does that really mean, constantly?
Well, we leave that up to the respondent, but the other category that we give you is several times a day. So it clearly means more than several times a day. Okay. And so, you know, I think there are plenty of teens who are really, you know, quite attached to their phones and their mobile and these social platforms, and they really do check them, you know, 10, 20, 40 times a day to see what's happening.
You also looked at there's a difference in races between the black teens and the white teens you surveyed on how they're using social media. How's that?
Well, we found that black teens are actually probably the most enthusiastic users of these platforms. They're the most most likely to use Snapchat, much more than white teens, more likely to use Twitter, and they're more likely to use most of the platforms more frequently. So they are more likely to say, I use these platforms almost constantly. Mm-hmm. And black teens are also more likely to use messaging apps, which is another thing we asked about in our study. And these are things like Kik, WhatsApp, Facebook Messenger, and more likely to use those more frequently as well.
Why do you think we see a difference between the black and white teens there?
Well, you know, that's a really good question. And, you know, I think some of the things that we would point to are from some work that I did on the previous study that suggests that black teens may be more concerned about privacy. And at least on the messaging apps, there's it's possible to share kind of a username or a handle to communicate with somebody without giving out your phone number. So you don't give somebody you don't know very well the power to call you in the middle of the night and wake you up. But you do give yourself the opportunity to get to know them better. Mm-hmm. And I think also we see that, you know, African-American teens have been historically more likely to have a smartphone and to have a smartphone earlier than white teens. And so I think it makes sense that African-American teens would also be more likely to be more intensive users of these platforms that are really essentially optimized for the smartphone. Mm. And that's many of these new social media platforms and these messaging apps that we've been talking about.
And the kinds of platforms the teens are using, because we hear the statement that kids nowadays really don't care about privacy at all, that, you know, they're just putting it all out there. Is that how you see it?
I don't think that's true at all. You know, I've done some research on this topic too, and what we find is that teens actually do care about privacy. They just care about it differently than parents. You know, when as adults, we care more about privacy maybe from the government, from our bank, from people we think are going to, you know, help keep us from getting a good deal or getting a loan. I think adolescents, they care about privacy from us, from adults, from parents, from people who have power over them. And, you know, the life of a teenager has a different group of people who kind of control what happens in their lives than adults do. And so teens want privacy from those people, from administrators, from teachers, from parents. And so they take steps to create those kinds of privacy from them.
And these apps effectively do that, then, you're saying?
I mean, I think some of these apps do. Snapchat helps with that, but not all of them. And not every kid has a lot to hide, right? There's plenty of kids out there who are like, look, I'm not screwing around. I'm a good kid. Like, I don't have anything to hide. And other kids, you know, just want some basic privacy to kind of figure out who they are and grow up without necessarily having your parents meddle. I mean, I think it's helpful for all of us to think back what it was like to be a teenager and how you felt about your parents being involved in your life.
In your view, is there any problem with just how much they're using social media apps right now?
Well, you know, it's a good question. We actually have a report coming out next week that asks teenagers about taking breaks from these apps. And so we do get into some of the questions about what are the challenges around these apps and using them. And it can be hard. They're not always easy places to manage. They can be exhausting and they're time consuming. And I think there are plenty of teens who see them as places that are taking me away from things that are important to me in other ways.
Are they addicted to these apps? Or?
You know, I think addiction is a strong term, but, you know, these apps do a great job of doing things that a lot of human beings love, which is to connect to other people and to connect information. And I think, you know, that's and they do a very, very good job. I mean, some of the best minds in America are sitting in Silicon Valley thinking about how to convince us all to spend more time on these apps so that we look at more ads and we do more things and we share more information, which can then all be sold. So, you know, I think it's definitely we are all susceptible to the power of these platforms, right, because the people who make them do a very good job.
Your survey found less than half of teens are using Twitter. Why is that not more prevalent?
You know, Twitter, interestingly, has never been that prevalent. I think it gets a lot of, even amongst adults, I think it gets a lot of love in media circles and in certain places, but there's still a lot of people who don't use it. You know, for teenagers, it's very much a broadcast medium, and they have other places they can do that. But there's a subset of teens who really like it, that 47% who use it, and that's actually higher than some data that was collected, you know, just a couple of years ago. So there are more teens using it, but it's just not quite as popular as some of the other platforms.
Amanda Lenhart, she's a senior research scientist at the APNORC Center for Public Affairs Research at the University of Chicago. It's been enlightening. Amanda, thank you very much for joining us on WILS.
Great. Thanks for having me, Mike.
And we'll be right back. I'm Michael Cohen. This is 1320 WILS.